And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill so big, it's like a ship's hull.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guy.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bob, where does this summer go? We're October. We're not. We're August the dozenth. And, man, you know, the little neighbor kids next door are getting ready to go to school, and it's like, wow, the summer just blew by. But hopefully you got out and are still getting out and firing up a grill or a smoker and creating a little envy in your neighborhood. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves, still 15 years running. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, go to thegrillinguys.com. Check out our website. It's not fancy, but it's loaded with all kinds of great stuff. On the right side, you'll see all of our wonderful sponsors who pay for this show to be on the air.
Right.
If it weren't,
we appreciate
them. If it weren't for them, we'd be in radio wasteland.
Right. Well, we're close anyway, but it's good. We appreciate all those people. But what'd you cook this week?
Oh man, it's just busy time on the grills. Of course, my wife was camping with her girlfriends, and I had all kinds of family members, kids and grandkids and stuff, come over. My oldest left for New York.
Yep, I was going to say, and I think I heard that.
We had a party Saturday at the pool, and I grilled some wonderful brats and hot dogs.
Well, those are always popular with the grandkids.
Yeah. And then I made up this really cool sandwich that my daughter Emily makes all the time when she's over. And it's got about four types of Italian meats on it.
Okay.
You take a big, long hoagie bun or really kind of a fresh, hard loaf of bread.
French bread or
you
something?
You slice it in half, and she makes up this mayo with sort of an olive relish in it.
Okay.
Smears that on one side, puts fresh provolone on the other side, and some spinach leaves, and then you start stacking up the Italian meat. And then you put some tomatoes on the mayo side, and she taught me a cool trick that I forgot about from years ago, but you slice your tomato and put it on paper towels and then put salt and pepper on it, and it helps it bleed out.
Sure.
So if you're making a sandwich like that, it's not all mushy.
Right.
And then you take the thing and fold it together and wrap it up tightly in plastic wrap, and put it in the refrigerator for about 12 hours. And you kind of press on it to flatten it out a bit.
Okay.
And then you cut it into nice little small sandwiches. And
oh, nice.
Holy cow, is it good.
Yeah, a little Italian hoagie there.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Kind of cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun last weekend. Went up to 14 of us that were in the fraternity together at Ferris. Got together. A couple of the guys have homes on Elk Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And we all went up there. And lo and behold, he had a flat top. And so on Saturday morning, I made breakfast for 28 people and on the flat top. And I did, you know, 4 pounds.
All by yourself?
Yeah. 4 pounds.
None of them helped you.
They were hauling stuff away as I was cooking it.
Oh, okay.
But
so you had servers.
What's that, Conrad?
28 people.
Yeah, I made breakfast for 28 people.
Oh,
it was
man.
So it was actually fun because I started with sausage and bacon, covered the whole griddle with it, and got all that cooked, put it over to the side, and then we had both pancakes and cinnamon French toast, and then I grilled eggs afterwards, and when we all ate at the same time, it was kind of cool, but it was a lot of work. I mean, we were pumping out the food, man, but I tell you, the flat tops, and the key to that was having it all on low. You cannot get that thing too hot,
right,
or everything burns,
right,
man. But you can keep the one side, there's four burners, leave one of them off, and cook with the other three.
Still stays plenty warm over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But stack of cakes, you know, all the stuff. So it was cool. It was really
short
cool.
Order cook.
It was what it was, man. There were long orders, though. Everybody ate the same thing, though. There was no, like, custom orders, but we made enough of everything, so it was a lot of fun. But It's a good piece of equipment. I think it's kind of a specialty thing, just like so many others, that, you know, you're not going to grill a steak on that thing. I'm not anyway.
No.
But
no, thank you.
For burgers, dogs, and that kind of stuff.
It's for frying.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm taking this extra time right now to finish up projects outside because I see what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Summer's done.
Yeah, it's close.
Ready to turn my air off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been doing... adding on to my woodshed, making that log building back there, and finishing off my deck. I have a little bit of touch-up to do on my deck, and then I'm going to oil the whole surface.
Right.
And
it was you were growing linseeds all summer, right?
Yeah,
I did. Linseed oil?
Lynn was helping me.
Right, yeah.
So I'm making a concoction out of linseed oil and mineral spirits.
Okay.
Two parts.
Does that thin it?
Two parts linseed oil, one part mineral spirits.
Does that thin it a little bit?
Yeah, it does, and it helps it penetrate a little better.
Okay.
But there's also a method of doing that where you add paraffin wax to it. You heat it up and add paraffin wax and stir it in, but I don't need the wax.
Right. That doesn't seem like that'd be terribly durable. The wax, but
I think you're making Thompson's water seal when do that.
Could be. Next week I won't be here, guys, because I'm with the family, and this is turning out to be a little bit of a goat rodeo, but we're going to get there. We're taking a UP tour Tuesday through Friday. We'll actually go Northern Michigan, UP for just a
your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, my brothers and my sister-in-laws. Yeah, they're 176, 174. And then they're bringing another couple with them that are about the same age, and then Lisa and I, and we're driving up through M-22 into the UP, going to go see.
So you're telling me I need to get a guest host?
You do.
Okay.
You do. Because
well, if you're
I
listening and you want to come in and fill in for Joppy's.
It's not hard.
Sure.
It's not hard. I would tell you, you're going to take a little hazard pay, though, because Bob's not going to let you talk. You got to muscle it in, but you could be here.
Yeah, it's so obvious. Yeah. As he cuts me off. Oh, sleight of hand.
Right.
Hey, it's time to scout if you're a bow hunter. It's time to make sure you got those cameras out there.
Yeah, and well, we had Merle on, two, three weeks ago, and the part that I think is so cool is you can buy these things now that talk right to your phone, send you the pictures. They've got their own little, you don't need like a cell plan. They got their own
right. That
comes with it, right? I don't know.
That's how I get pictures of bear at my place.
Right, yeah, you know. I was up in Elk Rapids this weekend, and they were seeing them on. We're on this little Skamog Peninsula that splits Skamog Lake and Elk Lake, right? That's where these guys' houses were, and it's a peninsula. I mean, it dead ends into the water all the way around it. The people were walking and saw bear on the peninsula while they're taking their walk in the morning. And
walk out that way,
right? Yeah, nobody got threatened, but you know, it's just a little finger of land, but they're prolific. I guess they're around a lot.
Yeah, I hear that around Alpena,
yeah,
real heavy with black bear.
Yeah, right. But there's a season, and I'm sure a lot of guys are hunting them in the fall. Or is that a spring hunt?
It's a spring and a fall.
Yeah,
there's
yep.
two.
Yep, exactly. So anyway,
kind of like turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, and so many of them, you can hunt them in two seasons. But who was it? Someplace where I was, they wanted, there was a popcorn company, and one of the guys I was golfing with wanted to use the old popcorn, the stale popcorn, because he baits his bear with stale popcorn. Because anything else is so heavy to carry in as far as they've got to go.
Oh.
And he wanted just this giant bag of caramel corn.
Oh,
that goes bad.
Oh, they would love that.
That goes bad, I guess, or, you know, it's old. They don't sell it fresh anymore or whatever.
They would love that.
Yeah, he was talking about that.
Is that when you're doing the feed pile like that, is that a thing that's permissible in Michigan?
Yeah, for bear, it's almost a must.
Yeah, right. It brings them in.
Okay.
And you'll see videos all over the internet of guys hunting over bait piles for bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not in a... You'll see
videos of guys stuck in trees because there's five bear down there
right.
and they don't want to leave.
And one on the tree that they're in, right. And he's tapping it on the nose with his boot. Yeah, I've heard of that guy, too. I'm out on that. I don't want a bear. I like looking at them, and that's about it. But anyway, so, Bob, we're going to talk about pork cuts and some methods to prepare them. I think that pork is the probably the most popular meat on a grill, maybe other than a burger or a dog, but pork is not hard, but there are techniques. So what we're going to do is talk about it and maybe help you out with whether it be ribs, loins, bellies, or backs, we'll be talking about it. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
30 point buck.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And we were going to start talking about cuts of pork and methods to prepare them. And I think that pork is one of the most popular meats. It's certainly one of the most affordable right now, when you go into the store. I think there's a that's still a cheap piece of meat. If you want to try on something, a new recipe or whatever, I think pork's a good place to start. You're not ruining $12 a pound beef. You still got $1.95 for a pork butt or whatever it may be.
Yeah, well, I thought one thing to talk about is maybe just kind of dance around the rib topic for one segment and just sort of do some basics on like types of ribs, basically pork ribs. That is, you've got a standard rack or what you call spare ribs.
Right.
Out of that, you can cut out St. Louis ribs, and then you've got high on the hog baby back.
Right. And those three are all the same cut, just shrunk down, right? You start with the just the spare ribs, right? And those still got the rib tips on them.
That goes down towards the belly.
Right, yep. And I was over at Sobey Meats the other day, and for the first time since I've ever seen him in his meat case, he had smoked rib tips, that little piece of cartilage that you cut away before you make St. Louis or before, and then again, you cut more away when you make the baby backs.
Were they separated into individual
nuggets? No, it was a long strip of them that they cut right off the whole perimeter, the belly side of the rib rack, and they smoked them whole. And they were, I don't know, they were like a foot long, and sitting in the meat case. And they were all smoked and ready.
Do you ever do those?
What? I don't, because
you don't cut St. Louis ribs on. You always buy baby backs.
Well, I buy St. Louis ribs with the tips already off them if I can.
Well, then they're St. Louis ribs.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And then baby backs.
You don't buy spare ribs.
I have, but the part I don't, I mean, I get it.
You don't like the rib tips.
That's exactly it. Because there's a lot of cartilage around them, and you got to you put them in your mouth and then you spit some stuff out, and that's the part I don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah. It's soul food, and it's not, it doesn't have any great etiquette or anything involved with it. You're going to be, it's going to be down home kind of eating where you're with family or outside or whatever. And you do have to separate that cartilage.
Right. Yeah. So not my favorite.
But, there is some good meat around them, and some people prefer them.
Exactly. And they'll drive just to get those.
And I like St. Louis ribs myself almost better than baby backs, because it just seems like the baby backs now have so much meat on them, I can barely eat them.
Before we get too deep in,
making St. Louis great again.
Right, yeah. I want to talk about if you're shopping for pork in general, not a particular cut, but just pork in general. And there's five things I want to bring up about this, and they're easier to remember, is with a piece of pork, the redder, the better. If the pork is a deep red color, that's when it's the freshest. And as it gets older, it gets lighter in color. So if you're looking for a piece of pork in the meat case, the redder, the better. The second thing is there's always fat on a piece of pork. That's the way it gets cut. You want that to be white, okay? If it's turning yellow, it's been in there a while, okay? It won't hurt you, but it's not the freshest piece of meat, right? And it depends on where you shop. It could be that way or not. Like I said, it won't hurt you. And then all pork pretty much has fat throughout. Even a set of ribs has a little bit of marbling in it. Just make sure yours does, because fat is flavor, fat is moisture, and it will make it taste better. And then pretty much all pork on the market now is hormone-free. If it's not, I probably wouldn't eat it. I believe that certain hormones are even illegal, so you'll probably never find them on the market. But just make sure that you're hormone-free. And then if you can find pasture-raised or heirloom pork,
marathon running pigs.
Right. Yeah, it's generally super tender. You know, there's a name of a hog that Sobey gets from his farmer. Just drew a blank on it. But it is an heirloom pig.
The javelina?
No, I don't think so. Those are in Texas running.
They're smelly.
All over. Yeah. But anyway, if you can find there are
several different farms in Michigan raising these heirloom pigs, and I can't remember the name. We've had them on the show years ago. I can't remember the name either, but I know that one guy out of Lansing gave us some meat, and it was amazingly tender.
Right.
It was like the Wagyu of hog.
Right. Yep. And I don't know the names of the
Hogu, I think they call it.
Hogu. Raz brother. Yeah. But anyway, all right, so there's your tips on buying pork. But so when you get a set of ribs, Bob, there's a membrane on the back. Do you take that off or do you leave it on? I think there's two schools of thought on that. What's yours?
Yeah, like 95% say take it off.
Right, I do too. Just because it never cooks up enough where it's not just a little chewy and a little rubbery in your mouth, in my opinion. I know some people leave it on. I'm not sure why they do it.
Oh, they're just not membrane to take it off.
Right. Okay, good one. Ba-dum-tsh. So the technique to do that is you put like a little butter knife under one end of the membrane's on the back, the curved side where the curve is a cup, concave, not convex. Yeah. So anyway.
That clarifies everything.
Right, yeah. Those are my two super words for the day. But anyway, put a butter knife under the one end of that, the widest end. And grab it with a piece of paper towel because you can hang on to it. And then you just pull gently and that thing should come off like a sheet, right? And it'll rip once in a while. And then you got to get the knife out again and get the other piece. But most of the time you can get that to pull right off
there. It helps you
get
your seasoning on the back side of it. It helps the smoke penetrate the back side. And it's one less piece of chewy stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, chew your rib tips if you want some chewy stuff.
Right. And I think maybe the only reason why anybody would ever leave it on is that as you get close to being completed, the ribs stay together a little bit. If you overcook a rib, a rack of ribs, when you go to take them off the grill, they'll fall apart. They're overcooked, in my opinion. I like them to be able to bend but not break. And then they just got a little chew when you pull them off the bone. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big fan of ribs as soon as you pick up the rib, you can wiggle a little bit and all the meat falls off.
I'm going to tell you it's a bit of a sexist comment I'm going to make, believe it or not. But
you? Come on.
Women
right.
like them falling off the bone.
Right, right. They don't like the
Don't even make a joke out of that.
I won't, but they don't like the little chew. I do. I like them just ready to come off the bone, but not quite off yet. So anyway, do you sauce your ribs or do you cook them dry?
Whatever the guests want.
Right.
I mean, I always smoke them dry.
Right.
But I'll glaze them with some sauce at the end if people want them. Mm-hmm. Rob and I used to do the Kansas City sticky ribs, and that's a cool process. So when your ribs are about done, you put some sauce on them, put them on the grill, and then let them do 15 minutes open grill. And then you put them in a container and you put a little more sauce, a little butter, and then a bunch of honey on them. And then you put them back in for another 15 minutes and let them finish off like that. And that is a sticky, sweet, wonderful piece of my mouth's water.
Just... Right. Now, are you putting them back on the smoker or are you putting them back on a grill?
Smoker, grill, whatever. Okay. Heat, just heat.
Right.
You want something that's going to help evaporate the water in the butter and dry up the sauce a little bit and let that honey glaze.
Yeah. Wow.
And awesome. It's a wonderful combination. Butter and honey, who'd have thunk?
Right, who'd have thunk? Coming up next, we might season up your loin or even your tenderloin. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
When it's time for bass fishing, don't do it bass-ackwards. Go to the bass fishing experts at Allen Bob Sports, now inside Millbrook Tack Building at 510 68th Street Southwest, just off 131. Tell them you want the Grilling Guys discount and you'll save $5 off your $25 purchase with some exclusions. Allen Bob Sports, online at allenbobs.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. It's the Pork Cut Show. So we're going to continue right on. We just covered ribs in the last segment. Here's the piece that is coming up in this segment that I enjoy the most, and that's either the loin or the tenderloin of pork. They are what they say. They're tender, and they're, if you cook them right, they're still juicy. And so we're going to cover that. But what's the difference between a loin and a tenderloin, Bob?
Well, I'll let you cover that in a minute, but I just wanted to say one thing before I did. This is one thing in my – if I have one claim to fame for an original thing, because there's not many in barbecue.
Right.
They're all stolen. I came up with a technique on loin after traveling for years with Rob and doing all these – classes where we're taking a jacquard to this and a jacquard to that. I cut up, just at home with my kids, I cut up a loin into like inch and a half chops, and I smothered them in oil, and I took my jacquard and I just beat the heck out of them, flipped them over, oiled them, beat the heck out of them, seasoned them, put them on the grill, grilled them up to 140, 145. They were ugly, battered, you know, looked like a road rage kind of thing, and I put them on. And by the time they were done cooking, it had come back together to almost a perfect pork chop again. The difference is you can cut it with your fork. And that was just a little idea I had. I tried it. It worked wonderfully. And I think that's the only original thought I've ever had in my life.
Let's unpack a couple things there. First of all, what's a jacquard? If people don't know.
Yeah, it's the meat tenderizer. It's got the bed of nails that comes down and rips the flesh.
Right.
Some people like it.
Okay, and then you put oil on there, probably an old world olive oil. Was it a flavored one?
Yeah, garlic EVO.
Okay. So
and I take that jacquard and I just stamp it and stamp it. You know, if you ever worked in a supermarket where they had a price gun and you had to stamp cans,
right?
It works like that. You hear the mechanical action and then these nails come down and it springs back up. And it's a fantastic piece of equipment. If you don't have one, let's just say you're doing some ball tip steaks.
Right.
And they can be tender. They can be tough, I mean.
Right.
You can take a ball tip and do the same thing. Oil it up and take that jacquard and pulverize it. Flip it over, oil it up, pulverize it. Again, joke in there somewhere.
Right.
And season it, put it on the grill, and you'll have a beautiful piece of beef.
Right.
Because a ball tip is not my favorite.
Right. Well, it's a little, it's where it is.
Grizzly,
right?
It's tough.
Yeah, right. It's right on the end
but
of
that,
the.
That jacquard, that's what it'll do. It's a tenderizer.
Yeah.
And we used them to, in the brisket class primarily, to teach people how to take a jacquard to their brisket and make it more tender. Now, right. I never do that anymore.
Right.
It's just too much work. And I find that I can make brisket as tender as you'd ever want it.
You'll find jacquards all over. Spell that, please. Because
Jacquard, and that's the name of the company that makes them.
Right.
There's knockoffs out there, but you want the original jacquard. You want the newer version that has the push-button release so the mechanism comes apart in a couple pieces for washing.
Right. Yep. Very important to keep that clean. But did you put the seasoning on or just the oil when you start hitting it with the
just the oil?
Right, because your seasoning goes on the top after you've got you. You don't really want to drive salts and peppers and things inside of your
and
meat.
And I used to do it that way. I wouldn't necessarily say you don't want to. I don't know the difference.
It would seem to me that it might impede it coming back together a little bit.
And, now you're getting all
but anyway,
Bill Nye, the science right. guy on me.
Anyway, at the end of the day.
Concave.
Right. I've eaten those. right. See, it's big word day. I'm grilling, guys. Yeah.
What's next with Jeff?
You'll see. You'll see. So that's a pork loin, and that's the one that I, you know, for the guy that doesn't know the difference, that's the one that's about the size of a softball.
It's a pork chop without the bone.
Right. Yep. It's the whole loin out of the animal. And it's about as big as a softball, big around. The tenderloins are the ones that are like tennis ball size.
If that.
And they come from a different part of the animal.
I remember the first time I went out to a butcher and ordered a I had to do an event for one of my grill factories. And I said, well, I'm going to need about 6 pork loin. Well, this was a butcher. So I'm used to buying pork loin in the supermarket. You're getting a half a loin.
Right.
So I got 6 of these 3-foot-long monsters.
Right.
And yeah. I went down to the DeVos Hall to cook up pork.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, so the loin is the entire length of the pig.
Right. Front shoulders to back.
The stuff you see in the supermarket's like a third of it.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense because you don't you go to your butcher, you can get a whole one, but you got to have a really big piece of equipment to cook those on.
Yeah.
Do you grilled, you cut them, you went horizontal from front to back getting 1.5-inch steaks.
Yeah.
Chopped, right.
When it's a loin, it's a chop.
Right. So then do you ever cook chunks of it as a roast?
Oh, yeah, a million times. Now, like, I'm dealing with Primo right now because I have that Primo I'm trying to fix. And it brought me down memory lane to when George, the founder and owner of Primo, he sold it recently, but he came up and put on a class for us trying to get us to buy his grill back when he was just a little guy. And he smoked a pork loin, a couple of them, on this Primo.
Right.
And I sat down, and I was very excited. I noticed the smoke ring, for starters, and that amazed me. This was 20 years ago.
Right.
So my knowledge on smoking was very, very limited, other than maybe some weed or something.
Right,
like
I understand.
That.
Yep.
No, I just didn't know that much about smoking meat.
Right.
And I thought I did, but, you know,
well, everybody, it's a process.
Dads with a grill,
right,
you know?
Yeah, yep.
I was just a dad with a grill and a shop that sold grills, but my knowledge level was still very, very shallow. And he showed us how he put that loin on that Primo, and I think he had it on with an offset plate, and he had it on for about an hour, hour and a half. And when I got my chop, and it was gorgeous, I mean, everybody's excited to get a piece of meat when it's free.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I cut into that thing, and I just kept looking at him like he was some sort of Greek god. George was Greek.
Oh.
A wonderful man. But it was like he performed a magic trick, because I could taste that smoke in the center of that loin.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe that. It's like, how does that thing work?
Yeah.
And I immediately bought a truckload of them and started selling them and
loved
them.
Yeah, those are the Kamado grills, those big ceramic ones. Maybe some of you have heard of them, called a Big Green Egg. A Primo is a competitor.
It's the American-made version.
Right. And
they actually make an oval,
which is better,
extra large, and they make a small oval. But that oval is the one I've got that a friend gave me. I'm fixing it up for my son. But so I called the factory to see if I could get that liner for it.
Sure.
We'll see how that goes. But
yeah.
Primo XLs, I don't know who sells Primo in this market, but or in your market, but if you're going to get a Kamado, it's the winner.
Right, because the oblong fits meat better.
It does.
You got a round one. You got all kinds of spots over there where the lid won't close because it's too close to the hinge. And anything that's over like 1-inch thick, it hits the roof. And really, the round limits your cooking space. If you're cooking anything thick like a pork butt or pork loin, you really lose a lot of grill space. That Primo, with it being oblong, you get to use more of it.
You're right on, and that was the big selling point, you know, that the retailers always had.
Right.
Is it especially like racks of ribs or a brisket or anything like that.
Right.
You don't, unless you have a, you know, a giant hamburger, the round doesn't work so well.
Right. So the tenderloin, real quick, is a smaller cut, like I said, about the size of a tennis ball or even a little smaller. Comes from the inner loin of the animal. But
you tend to like the tenderloin.
I do. They're very tender. Yeah. One, two, they cook in about a half the time of the loin.
They are quick.
And they take marinade very well, and you don't need to marinate them
long.
Do
you ever buy the ones that are pre-marinated?
I have.
Yeah, that's an easy way to do it.
It is. It is. And they're not bad. No. You're right. They're not bad, but...
If you're in a bind and you got to bring some meat to a party,
right?
And because they're grilling out there,
right?
Grab that in the supermarket. You won't be sad.
Yeah. They sell them seasoned and
lemon
without,
pepper, but, yeah. Teriyaki,
right? Yep. Hawaiian, whatever they are. But yeah, those smoke up. What's our temperature on pork?
What do we want? 145.
Right, and you don't need to overcook it. That's the number one problem.
Well,
that
especially
everybody
with
has.
A loin,
right?
If you're doing the loin, you want to bring it up to about 142. And then wrap it.
Okay.
Get some butcher paper. You can actually wrap it in plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And let it rest.
Because
yeah.
You're only at 145.
Right. Coming up next, we might touch your pork belly. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster.
Hey, so welcome back. It's the grilling guys. We've been all over the hog, so we're going to go down to the belly now and talk a little bit about pork belly. This might be something that you've done or you haven't done. Isn't this where the bacon comes from, Bob?
That is bacon.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I can tell you that I've cooked, you know, hundreds of pounds of bacon in my day, but I've never...
I think last weekend you did 100
yes,
pounds.
Yes, I did, yeah, for 28 people. But I've never done the belly as a piece. Tell us about that.
Well, it will intimidate you if you're a newcomer to it, because you'll have tasted maybe somebody who does it really well, and the first time you do it, it's probably not going to be that great. But here's the good news. They make more.
Right.
And yep. They're cheap.
Yeah.
So one thing I like to do is brine it.
Okay.
If I'm going to do like just a serving, you know, for four people, six people, I'm going to take about a 6-inch section of that belly and I'm going to maybe dry brine it on a salt and pepper, put it in the plastic wrap and throw it in the refrigerator for 6 hours. But,
okay.
There's lots of ways you can cook it. One of the ways I've got on the menu here, on the menu show plan, there you go, is a slow roasted. And there's all kinds of schools of thought on, you know, this is the best way if you read any of these blogs or whatever. Everybody wants to tout theirs as, you know, this is the best way. And you know already that there's all kinds of best ways.
Right.
It's if you pull it off and it tastes great, you'll do it again.
So before we get into that, the pork belly is just that, the belly of the hog. It has the skin on it.
Yes.
Still, right?
Right.
So there's going to be a layer of fat between the meat and the skin.
Right.
Right? So that's what it looks like. It may be, you know, you don't buy much other pork with the skin on. This is the piece that you do, and it's supposed to be that way, right?
Right.
Okay. So please go ahead.
So... you can leave the skin on or take it off.
Okay.
Everybody has a different preference. And the recipe you're using, like for the burnt ends recipe I'll do in a little bit, I always take the skin off because you're making delicate little squares. This one, you're slow roasting it with the skin up. And then you're going to crank up. So you're going to dry the skin and leave it in the fridge uncovered overnight.
Okay.
Then you're going to oil it and season it on both sides. On the bottom, I'm going to fashion some butcher's paper to kind of wrap up the bottom a little bit and let the skin be on top and take the heat of that slow roasting. That's going to soften it up. But we're going to do that for about three and a half hours at 2 1/4 in your smoker, in your oven, on your grill, indirect, however you want to do it. Then I'm going to crank it up to 450 for the last hour and kind of, you'll find with a pork belly that it has sort of a teardrop shape to it. So you can make these little aluminum foil balls and put it under the skinny end and pop it up so that skin gets leveled off on top and pops up out of that paper a little bit. And then it's all at the same level. And then that skin will cook at the same rate. And if you do it right, and you'll know when it's done because that top is going to be bubbly and sizzling.
Okay.
It's a wonderful thing to see.
Almost crackling.
Yeah, that's where the crackling comes from.
Right.
Yeah, and yep. You don't have to put it on hot coals to get your cracklings.
Right. So how do I know when this thing's done?
Like I said, it's going to take about three and a half hours and then about an hour.
Okay.
The meat will be tender and the skin will be crispy.
Okay.
That's when it's done.
And when you serve it, how do you serve it?
Oh, however you want. You can take that piece now and slice it into ribbons.
Okay.
So, bias the grain. You can chunk it up, but typically you're going to cut into strips.
Okay. And you serve it just with the skin on it.
Oh man, you can do sauce, you can do all sorts of things with that, but and all kinds of flavor profiles because it's a nice neutral piece of meat. It's not like a salmon or something that's going to take in a direction.
Right.
Pork is very pliable.
Is it
very forgiving?
Has after this technique, 3.5 hours on a 225 smoker, half hour to an hour on the 450.
A good hour.
Right. Is that fat rendered off there?
Oh yeah, heavily.
Okay.
Very heavily. You're still going to be a lot of fat though.
Right.
This is not fat free.
Right. So.
And if you left the skin on. And you're cutting it into strips as you're eating it, it just makes it easier for you to run your knife along the top of the meat and take the fat and the cap all off together. You might not like the skin.
Okay.
But if you try it, if it's seasoned properly and you try it, you might be surprised.
Right. And when you cut it in that ribbon and you serve it on the plate, then you could theoretically lay it on its side and cut that skin off right on
easily,
your plate.
Very yeah. easily. Yep. But you're going to find a gorgeous piece of meat.
Yeah.
Now, if you're
very flavorful,
if you're
too.
Brining it and you're smoking it, you're really getting something very close to bacon. I mean, your flavor is going to be very, very close. The burnt ends is a cool way to do it, and with that, you're going to trim all the silver skin and all the fat off the top of it
before you cook it.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're going to cut it into cubes.
Okay, so now I've got the pork belly without skin and without most of the fat. So I'm looking for just the lean pieces of meat?
Without the top fat.
Okay, okay.
Between the meat and the skin, that fat is mostly gone. You're going to put it on your smoker, again, 2 1/4 for about 3 hours. Then you're going to take it off and put it in a saucepan or on a skillet on your grill or something that'll allow you to render it down a little bit.
Okay.
And then you're going to use, again, kind of the Kansas City sticky rib method where you've got honey butter, barbecue sauce. And just like you do with burnt ends from a brisket, you're going to heat it up in something. I like using cast on the grill because it accomplishes what I want. And I'm a lumophobe.
Yep.
And, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so good. They're just wonderful.
And what you're trying to do is get those burnt ends with the sauce, the butter, and the seasonings on there. You want them tacky.
Caramelized.
Right? And caramelize a little bit. Don't go too far where they get hard and crunchy. because you're going to get that bitter flavor of all the sugar in the honey if you cook it too much.
If you want, the last 5 minutes, you can cut some carrot strips and lay them down in there next to it for a little bit of a presentation.
Carrots. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how good a carrot is like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right. A glazed carrot.
But it's just, you know, it's kind of nice to have some little dress it up a little bit.
Sure. Presentation. That's a big part of it. There's another big word for you. Presentation. Three syllables. Maybe four. So other than the burn ends, then there's another way that you've done them is with like a honey glaze.
I have not done this. This I found on the internet. It's a honey glazed pork belly. Preheat your oven to 425. You score it like you do a ham. Diamond pattern.
Right.
Score the skin.
Right.
Crosshatch, they call it. Season it with salt and pepper, whatever you like, and then place it on a rack in a baking dish, and you roast it for about 3 hours.
Right. And the baking dish is key because you're going to be rendering fat, and you want to catch it. You don't want it all over your oven.
You don't want to fry it.
Right.
You don't want to fry the thing. You want to roast it.
So get it up off the bottom of the pan and let the pan catch the drippings.
And I'll tell you what. If you want to try, Jop, you should do this one. Just do that once and glaze it with a little honey when you're done.
Uh-huh. Yep. Once again, you're just trying to caramelize it a little bit and get
it. You're going to add some sweet to it. But,
right.
Throw it back in for the last 10 minutes with some honey on it or some maple syrup.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh. This would be a good way if you've never done a pork belly. That's an easy way and something good to do on a day when maybe you don't feel like working too hard.
Right. Yep.
And your pellet grills and your smokers will do the same thing.
Right.
But you don't always want smoke on a piece of meat like that. There are people that don't like it too smoky.
Right. Well, yeah. And a lot of the ladies that I serve would rather have just a touch of it than maybe the guys are more into the big smoky flavor. But anyway, yeah,
and you'll
just know your crowd.
You'll know when it's done when the skin is bubbling over. It's bubbly.
Right.
You'll see it forming little bubbles and popping. You know, that's when it's done.
Cool.
Because you've rendered that skin and top fat too.
Awesome. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, try some pork. It's America's white meat, and we'll talk with you next week.
And thanks for not hogging the mic.
All right, man. See ya.